tweet at TodaySOR.
A lucrative battle is underway among EU member states for the right to host the London-based European Medicines Agency. With 900 staff, the regulator is one of the biggest EU bodies, but is having to shift its operations out of London due to Brexit. Ireland has expressed strong interest in hosting the agency, though there's fierce competition, as you'd imagine, from many other countries fighting hard to win them over. So how likely is it that they'll come to Ireland? On the line is freelance health and medical journalist Danielle Barron. Danielle, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Conor.
Before we discuss the likelihood of the European Medicines Agency coming to Dublin or wherever in Ireland, what are they? What do they do?
Okay, so I suppose the best way to think of them is like the European version of the FDA. We've all heard of the American FDA, it's the Food and Drug Administration there, and the EMA is our version of that. It was introduced in 1995 to basically and bring harmonisation to the drug approval process across the European Union. So prior to that, each country would have had its own regulations and its own rules about the approval of medicines, and drug companies trying to get their medicines approved in each country would have had to do it individually. Whereas now they go through the EMA and drugs are approved through that. It's known for being a very smooth process compared to the FDA. It actually takes about less than half the time, around 210 days compared to over 500 days to approve a medicine in Europe as opposed to America. So it does actually work quite well.
So it is a very big body and a very important body right throughout the European Union. How strong a candidate is Ireland, Danielle, in terms of attracting this agency here?
I think this is something where Ireland seems to have really identified this as an opportunity for us post-Brexit. We've been readying a bid, and certainly we seem to tick a lot of the boxes. One of the concerns about the EMA leaving London is the retention of key staff. There's over 900 staff, and it's a very niche and very specialised scientific and health agency. They're worried that if they do move country, that they will lose a lot of staff. And really, we're closer than Dublin. It's a short hop across the Irish Sea. And we've got, obviously, the major benefit in that we're the only English-speaking country left in the EU.
However, there are problems, though. Politics is always at play here, am I right? Because France is pushing hard for it to bring it to Strasbourg when the European Parliament closes there.
Oh, yeah. So there's a lot of countries vying to become the EMA's new home. So there was talk of Strasbourg when it became apparent that there may be an issue where the second seat of the European Parliament has closed down there. This would be seen as sort of a sweetener. But there's other strong candidates. Bonn in Germany has put its hat in the ring. Malta is very keen. But again, do these sound attractive to these English-speaking staff that are based in London since 1995, potentially? Mm-hmm. Will they want to move that far away?
I think there's also a problem mooted with the Irish. Would it be in Dublin, or would they look outside of Dublin, by the way?
I mean, I suppose you have to think about where could we fit 900 staff and their families. And that's one of the main problems, I think, with the Irish bid, because this brings an awful lot of inward travel. So there's talk of needing something along the lines of 36,000 hotel rooms every year. We know that there's a shortage of hotel rooms in Dublin. If there's a shortage in Dublin, I really don't think that anywhere else in the country could accommodate these visitors. The other problem, obviously, is the staff and their families. They want to see proof of transport links, housing, rental market, and obviously then school places. And I mean, these are problems that are discussed on Radio 1 every single day. Mm-hmm. Ireland has problems, providing that anyway. So to think of this major influx of families, Ireland will really have to fight to prove its case in that, and maybe stop them simply Googling these things.
And who is fighting on our behalf in this regard, Danielle? Who's trying
Simon
to attract
Harris.
Them?
Simon Harris, the health minister, has been readying the bid. But I mean, there's a lot of, political will there, so it would be something that the government would be obviously fighting for, because it is a regulatory agency. There was a lot of talk post-Brexit of many major financial institutions moving here, and since then, a couple have gone elsewhere. This is something where Ireland really stands a really good chance, so there's a lot of push behind this, and it would be coming from the government, but also You know, the pharma industry here would love to see it here. It's very prestigious. It's definitely beneficial to have it located here. We do have a very strong pharma sector, and it certainly wouldn't hurt.
Okay, and I suppose when you mentioned the pharma sector, I suppose that would be a major factor for the European Medicines Agency themselves when they look around and they say, okay, there's a big presence from within our own sector in Dublin, so that could help our cause.
Yeah, indeed. We do have that recognition of having a strong scientific and medical workforce here. We have, this is something that's been in the planning for years and years, Ireland to have the knowledge economy. We do have that expertise in science, and that would be seen as another bonus, particularly with the location of the pharma companies here. Earlier on, when it became apparent that the EMA would have to leave London, lots of Japanese companies indicate that they would be moving their HQ away from London and into whatever country that the EMA will be located in. So it's not just the EMA that this could bring to Ireland, it's several other companies. You could see an expansion of pharma companies here. The benefits are really enormous.
Okay, we'll see what happens. Freelance health and medical journalist Danielle Barron, thank you very much indeed for joining us. After the break, we'll discuss folklore and fire with Michael Fortune.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.